changes. What's the news for today? Somebody's hurt, somebody's aching, somebody's trying.
Through the flood and through the fire, Jesus. God. Praise God. Hope everyone's doing well this morning. Just so glad to see y'all. It's a wonderful day. It's a beautiful day the Lord's given us. Let's all stand, go to the Lord in prayer. We open up our service. We just, like I said, just want to welcome y'all. Welcome all our visitors. Those we haven't seen in a while. Those of you watching online, we want to welcome you to First Pentecostal in Villa Rica. God is great. And we just want to worship and praise Him. And also, just as His Word is open this morning, let it minister to us. And we just continue to pray. There are a lot of prayer situations, prayer needs this morning, as we've been brought aware of some more this morning. And we just want to lift each and every one up to the Lord. We know that God will provide and is in charge. And we're going to release everything to Him. Praise God. If you have a prayer request, just show by the raising of your hand. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, God, we just love you. Lord, we thank you for this day. Dear Lord, we thank you for your many, many blessings. Lord, as we come to you this morning, dear Lord, and open this service, Lord, we just want to let you be first in all thoughts, everything said, everything done, and everything that is. Lord, you already are the great I am, and dear Lord, we just releasing it all to you. Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for allowing us to gather in your house and in your name. Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord this morning, dear Lord. Lord, ready to receive your word, ready to worship you. But most of all, dear Lord, as we stand together in unison this morning and pray, Lord, we're releasing each and every situation that's come against us, each and everything that is. Lord, you know those spoken and unspoken prayer requests. You see the hands that were raised. Lord, we know that you're greater than cancer, dear Lord. We know that you can, just for those that mourn, dear Lord, we know that you'll ease the pain, dear Lord. And we just ask you to touch those that lost loved ones. Lord, those that are sick, those that are shut in, those that are watching online this morning, dear Lord, may they feel your holy presence. And dear Lord, know, dear Lord, and I know that the spoken word that comes forth to us this morning, dear Lord, out of your word, dear Lord, out of your Bible, Lord, we just love and praise you, dear Lord. We thank you again. Lord, we ask you to bless our children's church, the nursery, all the ministries that goes forth from our congregation, dear Lord. But we just give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Praise God, praise God. The song they were doing as they opened, I just love that song. And I just know how great God is. But I'm going to ask you to turn to page 212. It's one that I like. We love to sing. It's Keep on the Firing Line. Page 212. So I'll just sing.
Surely you
Amen. Praise God. Sound like y'all ready for church this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to see as more people are coming in. We just praise the Lord for that this morning. I'm going to do a couple of quick announcements before we take up our morning offering, and then we'll turn it over to the choir. Don't forget, there's a couple of announcements. Wednesday night, July 5th, we're having an ice cream social over in the Curtis Center. You're all invited. Specifics, just bring homemade ice cream. Just bring ice cream. It's going to be an ice cream social on the 5th, Wednesday night, over the Curtis Center. You're all invited. Make plans to come. We'd love to have y'all join us. It's a wonderful time fellowship. And just when we just praise the Lord and just thank Him for all that He allows us to have. And I can say this, just like we did to the kids, at July 9th through 12th, that's next week. Everybody say Vacation Bible School. That's right. It's been a lot of prayer going up forward. It's been a lot, and continue to keep that in prayer. A lot of preparation. There'll be a lot of things that have to be put together before that last situation, before they actually say it's here. But just continue to pray. There's still, if anyone would like to help or get involved, there's still an opportunity for you too. We'd love to have you. Bring the kids, bring the grandkids, bring the neighbor kids. It's just an opportunity just to let them hear about Jesus. And that's what our prayers are too. Not only that it goes smooth and everything falls into place and all the people involved, just for them having strength, but also that we have an opportunity for that word to go forth and for those children to be saved and to know about Jesus. I don't know about y'all, but I remember Vacation Bible School. I loved it. I loved it. I just really enjoyed it. I also can tell you I love the snacks and all that food that goes along with it too. So I love that. And also homecoming on July 30th. It's a big month. July is here. And there's other things that's going to be brought out too. I don't have them all in front of me, but I don't want to confuse everybody. But you're all invited again for service tonight. There'll be a special service this tonight too. We'd like to have you all join us. So we're going to go ahead and take up our morning offering, please. Just want to go ahead and do that. Are there any other announcements I normally ask? No. All righty. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord to bless our morning offering? Yes, Lord. Amen.
circumstances and things I could not understand.
Yes, amen. Bless her, Lord.
Many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision. That's when my frustrations get so out of hand. You know, that's when I am reminded I've never been forsaken, and I've never had to stand one test alone. I look at all my victories, the Spirit rises up in me, and it's through the fire my weakness is made strong.
He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, and that you would not be hard to find. He never offered our victories without fighting, but he said hope would always come in time. So just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again.
I know within myself that I would surely perish, but if I trust the hand of God, he'll shield the flames again.
He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, and the hill would not be high to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. So just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says give in, just hold on. My Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again. Just hold on. My Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
I'm going to do my best for this song today, but don't listen to me. Read the words.
Bless her, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
There is a blood that calls a life, that paid my way. Death, its price, and when it flowed down from the cross, oh, my sins were gone, my sins forgot.
Yes.
Praise
Amen.
You, Jesus. Oh, there is a grave that tried to hide His precious blood that gave me life. But in 3 days He breathed again. Oh, and He rose to stand.
To tell you that He tried.
was a grave, and it tried to hide his precious blood that gave us life. But listen,
but in 3 days he breathed again and he rose to stand.
Praise God. To Him be the glory. It's not about us. Never has been about us. It's always about Him. Friend, don't worry about this heavy load I carry. Sends me to my knees, for I know a place where all my load will lighten. I'll be all right soon as I touch Calvary. If these feeble hands of faith could only of unbelief, if you place his nail-scarred hand into my hand, I'll be alright soon as I touch Calvary. Are you thankful for Calvary?
soon now I'll reach the hill, Golgotha. I'll touch the cross that was fashioned from a tree. And if one precious drop of his blood touches me, I'll be all right now that I've touched Calvary. If these feeble hands of faith could only reach out through the dark, dreary storm of unbelief, if he'll reach his nail-scarred hand into my hand, I'll be all right now that I've touched Calvary. I'll be all right now that I've touched Calvary. Are you thankful for Calvary? Had it not been for that place called Calvary, had it not been, amen, for the great sacrifice that he made, amen, I would not be able to be here today standing in front of you declaring, amen, that I'm a born-again Christian. But I'm so thankful that by the blood of Jesus Christ, I said by his blood, amen, not mine, but by his blood, I've been made to be a believer and an overcomer, amen. And a conqueror. The Bible says we're more than conquerors through Christ our Lord. If you have your Bibles this morning, go with us to the book of St. Mark, chapter number 4. It's good to see you this morning. Let everybody know how much we love them, how glad we are, man, that they have come to worship the Lord with us. And may I take just a moment, I would like to invite each and every one of you back tonight. Please come back tonight. We're going to have Brother Jason Spray and his church will be here, and Brother Jason will be speaking for us. And I hope that we have more here than he brings in his. He's planning on, I think, of bringing most of his church. But that'll be fine. But we really encourage you to make a special effort to be here tonight. Amen. From the book of St. Mark, chapter number 4, when you get there, say, God is great. Verse number 35, and the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm. Everybody say, a great storm. Of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, how we love you and how we thank you, God, for your mercy, for your grace, for your abundant love. For this day and this opportunity, God, that we have together. Father, I pray your blessing. I pray your anointing. God, just rain your spirit down upon us today. God, help us to be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. Father, we do remember those who are sick. We have some in the hospital. Father, I pray that you would reach out to them, minister healing and strength to their bodies, and touch them. Those that are down and out, those who may be discouraged, God, I pray that you would encourage them, God, in your power. Now, humbly ask this morning, God, that you just anoint this vessel, anoint these lips, God, to speak to us that you would have us to hear, and we'll be careful to praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. This morning, I want to take this time to preach a sermon entitled, The Other Side of the Storm. The storm. You may need to cut me down, or you don't want me to switch? Okay, just kind of, you know, sometimes I have a tendency to get a little loud. So I don't want to burst anybody's eardrums today. Amen. The other side. Everybody say the other side. Before we get into the boat, before we get into the storm, let us backtrack just a little bit. Bible tells us here that Jesus has just spent an enormous amount of time teaching parables to a multitude of people. They're gathered there by the sea, and Jesus has stepped into the boat. Many people wonder why, and I think it's just because of the ability to that sound actually travels a little better over the sea than it does on the mountains, and he didn't have the amplification or the microphone, so he simply got out on a boat and just thrust out just a little bit from the seashore and began to project the teaching to the people that was there. And they were at least three parables, and the Bible says, in fact, he taught in many parables to this group at this particular time, but three specific. He talked about the seed and the sower, and he spent a great deal of time talking about how the sower must spread the seed regardless of where it falls. And how many knows that we got to keep spreading the seed? Some's going to be receptive. Some's going to not have it. Some's going to fall by the wayside. And unfortunately, some's going to receive the seed, but it's going to be choked out by the cares of the world. And then he went on to tell the parable of the tiny mustard seed and how that it's one of the smallest seeds that there is, but when planted into the ground, it begins to grow forth and becomes a large bush with great branches, big enough for the birds to even come and dwell in, and how that applies to us. And we may not have a whole lot to offer, but whatever we can offer unto the Lord and do it in the name of the Lord Jesus and do it for His honor and for His glory and plant that seed, it's going to produce. Amen? It's going to grow and it's going to fulfill that which God would have it to fulfill. Understand, he is speaking to the group and likening all of these parables to the kingdom of God. How many is glad to be a part in the kingdom of God? If you're in the body of Christ, you might say, Brother Eddie, I don't know if I'm in the kingdom of God. If you're in the body of Christ, you're in the kingdom of God. Amen? You're in this kingdom here, and he's got a kingdom prepared for us. How many's going with me? How many's looking forward to that place where there's no more pain, no sorrow, no sickness, and no death? Everything that we're ever going to have need for is going to be prepared for us there. My, I get a little excited talking about my heavenly home. But Jesus is declaring here that all of these things pertain to the kingdom of God and how we got to keep on, how we got to keep sowing, how we got to keep growing, how we got to keep testifying, how we got to keep witnessing. And then he also uses the parable of the light and how that we must let our light shine. Because all the way back to when I was in Sunday school and we learned a little song, this little light of mine, I'm going to hide it under a bushel. And that's what happens many times when we have an opportunity to let that light shine. And listen again, the light is not about us. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about Jesus. Amen. It's all about our Heavenly Father. Let this light shine. Amen. And don't hide it. Don't try to conceal it. And do not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Do not be ashamed to declare yourself a born-again Christian. I am honored. I am so thankful. I am privileged to know that I've been born again. Amen. And had the precious blood of Jesus applied to my life, my sinful life. I can never thank him enough. In fact, it's going to take me an eternity to praise him forever and ever and ever for what he has done so that my soul can spend eternity in heaven with him. My Lord, I don't want to let my light be hid. Amen. I want to let the people around me see that there's a difference in me. I don't care if they remember my name. I don't care if they understand or even remember that I'm a preacher or a pastor. But if they can see Jesus in me, if they can see the Spirit of the Lord within me, amen, then we're sowing seed. So Jesus has taught these three specific parables. And then the Bible says, basically after the multitude is gone, he and his disciples are alone. And Jesus takes this opportunity to continue teaching unto the disciples. Now, what was meant for the multitude was great. It was an introduction, if you would, into the body of Christ and into the kingdom of God, and how that they may not be a disciple, they may not be a prophet, they may not be a pastor, they may not be a teacher, but every one of them has a part in the kingdom of God. And then he takes his 12 aside, and he goes a little bit more in depth with them, because he's preparing them for something. If you've been living for the Lord for a number of years, God is preparing us for something. Not only for heaven, amen, but for a ministry here on this earth. And he took this special time to go a little deeper with the disciples, and he began, and the Bible doesn't tell us exactly what he taught the disciples. He basically says, but without a parable spake he not to them again. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. Now, I'm thinking that not only did he prepare them for the glory and for the benefits, but I think that maybe he warned them about the ministry. He warned them that they're not going to be received well by everyone. How unfortunate that is, but it's true and it's reality. But he said, don't give up, keep going, keep preaching, keep sharing the gospel, keep ministering, keep healing, keep anointing, doing those things. And it's not always going to be an easy road. Now, I don't know, because the Bible doesn't declare it, but maybe in this time of teaching, he might have, just allow me a little bit of my opinion or my wild imagination, but as he talked about these things, maybe the subject come up, he might have said, and beware and be prepared for storms that may arise in your life. You know, I could get in the pulpit and all I could ever talk about was blessing, 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 blessing. How many knows it's more than being blessed? Come on. Oh, it's fun on the mountaintop, ain't it? Glory to God. Hallelujah. We can praise and worship the Lord, but I want to tell you something. In case you have not figured it out by now, the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. He's still God when you have problems. He's still God when you're sick. He's still God when you're afflicted. He's still God when you don't get good news from the doctor. He's still God when your bank account don't look real full. How many knows that meal barrel never did fill up, but praise God, it didn't go empty either. Hallelujah. But it's not always going to be a cakewalk. He may have expounded on that. There may be some heartbreak. There may be some discouragement. And there may be some disappointment. And then after he has expounded, the Bible doesn't say how long, but he taught them for probably a good little while. And then Jesus kind of flips the switch and goes from one thing to the other. And it said, and the same day when it got evening, when things began to get dark a little bit, he saith unto them, let us pass over to the other side. Now, if you look at the situations, you might think that it was probably not the most opportune time to travel, especially on the sea. They didn't have the lights and all that we have. They may have had lit torches. They did not have the weather forecast that you and I have learned to not depend on. I started to say depend on, but I'm right more times than they are. See, I figured out a perfect way to project the weather. Get up in the morning, open your door, and look out. Amen. That's the best way that I know. But they want to pinpoint it 2 or 3 days ahead. And then, you know what? It's never their fault if it doesn't come out exactly like this. Oh, you know, they took a wrong turn. But just in my way of thinking, if we were going to take a boat ride, and now we had been ministering all day long and pretty tired, don't you think it would be better if we just kind of slept tonight and then got in the boat and traveled tomorrow? If you haven't learned something by now, Jesus doesn't think the same way that you and I do. He's always way ahead of us. And that's what I want to project to you today. Jesus is already ahead of what you're anticipating or what you're going through right now. Don't worry. He's got it under control. Don't worry. He knows exactly what he's doing. And you're going to come out victorious. Amen. It may look dark. It may look gloomy. But just hold on to faith that the Lord is going to make a way. So in Southern vernacular, come on, boys. We're going to take a boat ride. You know, there were some fishermen in that group. Remember that? He called some fishermen. Experienced fishermen. I don't know if they said, I don't know, Jesus, it don't look like a good time to travel or not. But I think they'd learned something by this time. When Jesus spoke, they obeyed. So they climb into the boats and the little boats that are around them, and they go out into the sea, and they're going to go to the other side. Everybody say the other side. That were their plans. Just how we have plans sometimes. Sometimes our plans do not coincide with the Lord's plans. So I don't know how far they'd get out on the sea. But the Bible says when they had sent away the multitude, they took Jesus even as he was in the ship. And let me just say, take Jesus as he is. Don't change him. Don't modernize him. Come on, don't try to correct him. Take him as he is, the Son of God. Amen. The sacrificial lamb. I don't want to change anything about him. And I've seen some depictions of people saying what the modern Jesus would look like. Listen, physical characteristics I'm not concerned with. I'm concerned with the spirit that was within Jesus from the Father. Amen. The Word was in the beginning, and the Word was with God, and the Word was made God. Amen. And we beheld him as the Son of God. Glory to God. And that same spirit that he gave him, he is endowed within us. Glory to God. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are full of the Spirit of God. You got power that sometimes you don't even realize, because he that died for us now lives within us, giving us strength and power. So they went and took him as he was, and there were other little ships, and there arose a great storm. I want to project to you today that, in my opinion, my humble opinion, I don't think Jesus was surprised by the storm. I don't think that he said, oops, it's bad timing. We should have waited. You know why? Because I think this was still a part of the teaching of the disciples. You see, sometimes when things come in our lives and we don't understand that, we think that God has just kind of taken his eyes off of us for a while and let us get in the boat by ourselves. And first thing you know, here's a great storm. But that storm may be a teaching tool. Ooh, I didn't think I'd get an amen, and I didn't. But that storm that you're going through right now may be teaching you something, if nothing else, to teach you to depend on God, to teach you to take your eyes off of the problem and focus your eyes on the problem solver. Amen. My God is able to do all things exceeding abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think. He's in charge. And he knows about the storm. I don't think Jesus was taken by surprise. In fact, I think when he was on the shore, he probably knew there was going to come a storm. But maybe Jesus said, you know what? I can use this. I can use this. I've taught the multitude. I've taught the disciples. But here's an excellent opportunity for me to teach the disciples that they need to take their eyes off of the storm and keep it on me. So this great storm arose, and it was a great storm. The wind was boisterous. The wind was howling. The wind was blowing. It was dark. Everybody say that with me. It was dark. I've had some people declare to me some awful storms in their life. And the adjectives that they use and the words that come out, you can almost imagine the storm that they're going through. Maybe not a physical storm. Maybe it's a storm of situations that arise in your life. Maybe it's turmoil. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's discouragement. Maybe it's a hundred number of different things that could arise in your life that could cause your spirit to be affected by the storms of life. We could probably spend the balance of this service talking about the different things that affect us in our walk with the Lord. But this storm was a great storm. Started taking on water. And some of those experienced disciples who were fishermen by trade realized that we're in a tight spot. We may not make it to the other side. And then they realized that Jesus was asleep. Jesus was asleep. You ever been able to sleep through a horrific storm? The lightning ever wake you up? Or the thunder? Man, it does me, and all I do is turn over and go right back to sleep. Sleep through a storm. But Jesus was sleeping through this storm. Why? Because it wasn't a storm to him. I said he was never concerned about it. Because he knew the outcome. Do you hear what I'm saying? When we know the outcome, the storm is not nearly severe. It's not nearly as tragic as it is when we know that we're going to come out on the other side victorious. So the disciples go to him and you know, they ask him a terrible question. Carest not thou that we perish? Jesus was not a smart aleck. But had he been a smart aleck, he said, wait a minute, I'm about to die on the cross for you. Of course I care. And why would we ever ask, Lord, don't you care what I'm going through? Of course he cares. God, are you not concerned? Of course he's concerned and aware. But he's already formulating a victorious plan for you that you and I can't even see with human eyes. And we have to look through eyes of faith to say, Lord, whatever it is, I'm trusting you. Lord, whatever it is, my faith is in you. I'm not going to be alarmed. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm just going to proclaim it done in the name of the Lord Jesus. Carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind. He rebuked the wind. And the Bible says, I want you to get this. There was not just an ordinary calm. There was a great calm. I said a great calm. So much so that it calmed the atmosphere. It calmed the wind. Straightened out the waves. Almost to a point, if you hadn't been there, you would have never thought that right before there was a great storm. I believe it was day before yesterday. I got some energy. And when you're my age, you're thankful for that burst of energy that comes sometimes. It doesn't always appear. Sometimes it comes and it doesn't last very long. But for some reason, I had some energy. And I went down in my building, which Karen says I'm a hoarder. And I correct her and said, no, I'm a collector. There's a difference. I'm a collector. She said, Daddy, it's junk. But anyway, I started beginning to straighten out my junk. I emptied up everything, my possessions. And time was just flying by, and all of a sudden I noticed the wind was really blowing and thunder and maybe a little bit of lightning, and the trees were just swirling. And then all of a sudden, y'all know, it came an abundance of rain. I mean, my little barrel out there, rain barrel, that thing filled up in no time, and it just overflowing. Well, there's a good message right there. Sometimes our rain barrel gets nearly empty. Amen. But sometimes it's full and overflowing. So I realized right off that I wasn't going back to the house, so I just stayed there and kept working. And, you know, I got a little bit concerned because there was lightning popping around, and I figured, you know what? Well, Lord, if it hits me, that's all right. Time to go anyway. And I took my mind off of it, and first I realized that all of a sudden it quit raining. The sky got light again, and I walked outside the building, and there was the most peaceful, calming effect. Birds were chirping again. The squirrels were trying to get in Penny's bird feeder again. It was full of water, and they was upset. In fact, I think they left a note, empty it and put some bird feed in. But everything was totally different, where there was just moments ago a terrifying storm. And I can't tell you, this message didn't come to me then. It came to me later. Because Jesus was not really concerned about showing them the other side of the sea or the other side of the land. But in my humble opinion, I think he wanted to show them that I am still Jesus in the midst of the storm. And if I can be in perfect peace, and if you can be with me, need to keep Jesus in the boat. Don't work with him not in the boat. Then you can have peace. So when he prophesied, or when he declared, he said, "Let us pass over unto the other side." I think, in my humble opinion, he wanted to show them the other side of the storm. And I, as a poor preacher, not able to really articulate and project to you exactly how I received it, I want to stand today and somehow, some way, allow God to show you the other side of the storm. Because sometimes all we see is the storm. All we hear is the lightning. All we experience is the boisterous wind that shakes us from side to side. And thank God we're on a solid foundation, but sometimes we're swaying beneath a heavy load of the problems and the trials and the things that the storm brings. But God spoke to me yesterday, and he said, "Tell the church that I want them to see the other side of the storm." And I want to, in somehow, some way, declare unto you what a great calm is really all about. A great calm after the storm means that not only has the wind ceased, not only has the sea smoothed out, glory to God. I know, you're saying it's rocky right now. You're saying the waves are high. You're saying you're taking on water. You're saying that you can't get your mind on deliverance and you can't get your mind on healing because of the pain, because of the torment, because of the situations around us. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus is here and Jesus is with you. Amen. And if you'll just trust in him, he's going to show you the other side of the great storm that you are now experiencing. Oh, and there's going to come a great calm. I said, there's going to be a great calm. Fear, apprehension, discouragement, hurt feelings, whatever the case may be, are going to be rebuked and passed away. And all of a sudden, I say all of a sudden because it wasn't a slow process. You know, people say, "Well, things will get better after a while." Well, that's true in certain things. But the God I can serve can immediately change your storm into a great calm. I said he can immediately do it. Hallelujah. Glory to you. Somebody needs to say praise the Lord. Amen. Because you've been thinking and you've been told you're going to have to endure this thing for a long period of time. You know what? You only endure it as long as you don't put your faith in the Lord. Amen. As soon as you put your faith in the Lord and believe that God's got it under control, he'll rebuke the storm in your life. And there will be a great calm. Okay, the great calm supersedes the environment. That was just an ordinary calm. You know, you've always, there's a calm after the storm. As I walked out of the building the other day, That's because the wind quit blowing violently, the trees straightened out, the birds started chirping, and the skies got lighter. You know, all those dark, heavy clouds were gone, and in its way was the pretty blue and billowy white puff. You know what I'm talking about. And that's great. But the great calm that I'm talking about happens here. I said it happens right here. All of a sudden, you realize that he does care. All of a sudden, you realize that the reason that he was asleep is because there was a great calm within him. I couldn't get past that description of a great calm. Not just an ordinary calm, but a great calm. And I did a little research and I did a little referencing, and I realized that a great calm produces peacefulness, quietness. I love this next one, tranquility. Well, just the word makes me want to lay on a beach somewhere in Miami. No, maybe Panama City. No, I tell you what, out by Chattahoochee River, I don't feel like going that far. Amen. A great calm of tranquility. Think about the one place that gives you the most tranquility. No, not Walmart. No, I know it does work with some. The nail salon. My wife comes. You go to the nail salon? You don't go to the nail salon. My wife comes. She goes sometimes in a nervous thing and comes back in the most tranquil thing, you know. No, I'm talking about something greater than that. I'm talking about something greater than sitting in a tree, in a tree stand, and seeing a big buck walk out. Or fishing off the coast of Louisiana and reeling in those big fish. That sounds pretty good, don't it? But that tranquility is short-lived. But the tranquility, the great calm that happened, was for the benefit of the disciples. He said, because you're going to have some storms. Peter, James, Andrew, John, I'm here to tell you, it's not going to be an easy path. It's not going to be all fun and games. But I'm going to tell you, after the storm, that's what I want you to see. That's what I want you to put your faith and trust in. Not only is there going to come peacefulness and quietness and tranquility, there's another good word, serenity. Serenity. I think of another one, blissful. I'm not a reader of minds, but I think I'm getting some feedback here. Because I think, if I'm not wrong, I think some minds are thinking about some of those tranquil places of serenity and peace and wherever that is, and you're thinking about that and how good it would be to go there right when you're having a storm. But again, all of those things are superficial. But I want to declare unto you, there is a permanent and an ongoing great calm. Not only after, some of you's going to get this, some of you's not. Not only after the storm, but during the storm. Lord have mercy. Hallelujah. See, it's one thing to feel all bubbly after the storm, but if you're a true Christian, if you're focused on the Lord, amen, and you know He won't leave you and He knows He won't forsake you, but He'll be there with you all time, even when the wind is blowing, even when the lightning is striking, even when the thunder is rolling, you can have a great calm, you can have a spiritual tranquility about you, and you can say, Lord, I know You care, I know You love me, and I'm going to trust You not only after the storm, but I'm going to trust You during the storm. Hallelujah. And that day or that night, the disciples learned a great lesson. They saw the other side of the storm. They saw the blissful, tranquil, serene, calming effect after the storm. And I think Jesus didn't use, I think he had that in mind the whole time. He said, let's go to the other side. Because there's a storm brewing. There's a storm. You know what? I'm going to project to you, too, that the Lord knows the storm's coming way before you and I do. And that's all right. Because he's just assuring us that I'm going to be with you through the storm. You're not going to stand alone. You're not going to be by yourself. I think it'd be a great time for Sister Jennifer to sing, "The cries have awoken the Master." Your cries have awoken the Master. Your storm that you may be facing now, I want you to spiritually look at it. Take the natural eyes off and look through eyes of faith and know that the other side of the storm is going to produce a great calm, a calming effect in your spirit. Maybe you've got some decisions to make. Maybe you got some valleys to go through. But don't look at the valley and don't look at the situation, but keep your eyes on God. Amen. Would you stand as she sings a verse or two of this? You may right now be experiencing a great storm, but eyes of faith can cause you to look at the other side. The other side. Sing when you get ready. God is here. His Spirit is here. It's among us.
Crossing the calm sea with Jesus, the disciples were getting concerned.
Oh, yeah, they were concerned.
The wind started violently blowing.
Are you there?
He was asleep in the stern. Does he not care that we perish?
Some of you brethren,
we
want to have a special prayer. Brother James, as he gets ready for surgery, may look like a storm now, but I want him to see the other side.
They called him.
I want him to see the side of victory, of healing.
Said to them, where is your faith? Because you prayed all night. Because you've held on with all of your might. Child, your cries have awoken the Master.
Just one word from his voice and it all must cease. 'Cause you prayed all night. 'Cause you've held on with all of your might. Child, your cries
Master.
Thank you, Lord.
Have awoken the Master.
Give him praise in the house. Hallelujah. God bless you. We love you. Amen. Look to the other side of the storm and hope to see you tonight. May God bless you.
Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise his name. What a wonderful, powerful message this morning. You know, God, again, knows what we need to hear and when we need to hear it. Love each and every one of you. Thank you for joining us this morning again. As Brother Eddie gave out a special invitation, come join us tonight. May we represent and may we just let the Lord just in the service tonight be a much prayer for it too. All the other festivities, don't forget Wednesday night, the ice cream social. We should have just a full house, I pray. But as we prepare to depart, I'm going to ask you for do something a little different than we normally do. But as we all, you know, I want us to pray together. God's already working in so many prayer requests that's gone forward this morning. From Sunday school to our services to our two that's going into surgery now. Those that are watching online that's recovering from surgery, they're going through therapy and all the other. For those who've been able to join us this morning from their procedures. But we know God's bigger than anything that we face, any storm that comes against us. And as the message said, that we're going to stand through the storm, and we're just going to give it to the Lord. So I'm going to ask each and every one of you as we pray this prayer of dismissal. But I want us all just to thank the Lord for his answering these prayers and for the circumstances that he already knows that we're going to face even before we know the situation. But we're just going to lift up the Lord. Let's all just pray as we...
Brother Jose.
Oh, yes. All right. And Brother Jose. That's right. Thank you. Got your answer. Praise God. Let's all just pray. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, God, we thank you, dear Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word, dear Lord. We thank you for the message that came forth to us this morning, dear Lord. Lord, but we thank you for being who you are and for your love for us. Dear Lord, we just praise you. Now, dear Lord, we're going to lift you up, dear Lord, for each and every prayer need, each and every spoken and unspoken prayer request. Lord, those brought through our Sunday school classes, through our text blast, through those online watching now. Lord, for those that have been brought to the altar, dear Lord, and we just praise you. Lord, we're releasing each and every situation into your mighty hands. And Lord, in your name, Jesus, we're declaring it done. Lord, our faith is in you. Our hope is in you. And Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for being with us during surgeries, procedures. Lord, those that are traveling, those that, every situation that those that aren't able to be with us, those online. Lord, we love you. And we praise your holy name. Lord, thank you for answering these prayers. And Lord, we just give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Shake somebody's hand as you get ready to leave. Praise God. Come join us tonight.